Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. You know, the Bible says in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." So we're only truly a disciple of Christ if we continue in his word. That means we study his word to find out what it has to say, and we put that into practice in our life. We believe and practice and teach the truth. And so if we'll do that, if we'll continue in his word, we're truly his disciple. And the very next verse then makes this promise. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We will only know the truth if we continue in his word, is Jesus' point. And then Jesus' second point is that truth will make us free from sin. The implication is that if we don't follow the truth, we won't be made free from sin. And that's why in this program, we talk about what the truth is. We recognize the fact that 2 plus 2 cannot equal 4 and 5 at the same time. Both answers can't be right. All of these religious teachers, all of these preachers, all these different churches teaching different things, they can't all be right. There's only one truth, and it's what God says in his word. We examine what God says, and we try to show you what it says by proving it by the Bible. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. Last week, we were talking about discipleship. What is the cost of discipleship? Let me continue that discussion by reading Luke 14, verse 33. There Jesus says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." To be a disciple, then, of Jesus Christ, we have to forsake all that we have. That means we have to put Jesus above everything, above our family even, which should be, that in this world, the thing we put first. But even above our family, we have to put Christ. We have to put Christ above money, Christ above our jobs, Christ above anything that we like. College football, the Super Bowl, Christ must come first above anything. It has to come first in our time, our resources, our choices, our decisions. In everything, we have to be willing to forsake all to be a true disciple of Christ. So there is a cost to being a disciple. We must be willing to forsake all. We must be willing to put everything second place before Christ. Now, last week when we were talking about discipleship, what is the cost? Someone called in and asked about the topic of divorce and remarriage in Matthew 19:9, where Jesus said, "Whoever puts away their wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery." And so we see the possibility from that text, as well as others, that it's possible for a man to be in an adulterous marriage with a woman. If he divorces his original wife for any reason other than fornication and marries another, he commits adultery. This second marriage is an adulterous marriage, an unscriptural marriage, and as such, it would need to be terminated if the person, the man, was wanting to repent of that and get right with God. Now, as far as discipleship, where this comes in a passage like Luke 18:29-30. Let me read that. Luke 18:29-30 says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." And so the possibility is there that a man may have to give up a wife he dearly loves because it's an adulterous marriage, based upon texts like Matthew 19:9, Romans 7:2-3. Mark 10:11. He may love that woman, that wife, but since it's not his original, it's not his scriptural wife, it's an adulterous marriage, he would have to give that up. Now, Luke 14:33 had said a man must be willing to forsake all to be a disciple of Christ. And so he may have to give up, forsake his wife, if it's an unscriptural marriage, an adulterous marriage. Do you see that? We're not talking about a scriptural marriage. A scriptural marriage must be maintained. Divorcing a person out of a scriptural marriage is unlawful. unless it's for fornication. We're opposed to that. Husband and wife should stay together till death do them part. But now we're talking about an unscriptural marriage. Suppose they divorce their original spouse unscripturally, marry another. Jesus says it's adultery. Now they want to do what's right. They want to be a true disciple of Christ. They're going to have to forsake that. They have to be willing to put Christ before anything, even before their wife. And so we see from passages like Luke 18, 29, and 30, that being a disciple might cost us our family. Might even cost us a relationship with our parents. If our parents, if we're wanting to obey the truth, and our parents are caught up in some religion, let's say, some church that's not following the truth, they may object to you following the truth. You may have to hurt your relationship with your parents by obeying the truth. Or with your brothers or sisters or children even. That's what Jesus said in Luke 18, 29 through 30, that the cost of discipleship might even be our families. It might be put a sword between us and our families if we obey the truth and they don't appreciate the truth. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, another thing that being a true disciple of Christ might cost us, and this may be surprising to you, it may cost us our current religion or church. We've already read John 8, 31 and 32. The Bible definition for disciple, according to John 8, 31, is a person who continues in God's Word. And then verse 32, as we've already mentioned, only the truth will set us free from sin. I ask, what does that imply about religious error? Religious error will not set us free from sin. It will actually cause us to be lost. Only the truth will set us free from sin. John 8, 32. So if we're part of a church, we're part of a religion that's not practicing the truth, then we may have to give up and leave that church in order to follow the truth. That's what being a true disciple is all about. Being willing to give up anything to be true to Christ. To be willing to give up anything to be true to Christ. I think we have kind of an example of this in John 12, 42 and 43. I'm going to turn over there and read, if you'd like to read with me, John 12, 42 and 43. Here's what the Bible says there. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now here's my point from that text. Here are some chief rulers who actually believed on Christ. The Bible says they did believe on Christ. But, it says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were willing, they believed in Christ, but they weren't willing to openly admit that they were going to be a follower of Christ because they were afraid they were going to be put out of the synagogue. It says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were more concerned about losing their place in the synagogue than with being a true disciple of Christ. They believed in Christ, but they didn't admit it. They didn't follow Christ because they didn't want to lose their place, quote, in the church they were already in. Now think about where you go to church. Is your church following the truth? Are they following the truth on divorce and remarriage that we've just brought up? Are they following the truth on passages like 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 that forbid women from preaching in the pulpit? It's a shame for women to speak in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, 35 says. Let your women keep silence in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 says. Are they following the truth on baptism? How that it must be a burial, Romans 6, verse 4? And it must be a picture or a likeness of the burial and resurrection of Christ, Romans 6, verse 5. In other words, they immerse, they dip for baptism and not just sprinkle or pour. Are they willing to follow the truth on that? Are they following the truth and opposing gay marriage? We've looked at Romans 1, 26 and 27, how that it condemns homosexuality, period. How that we read in Matthew 19, 4 through 6, that God made them male and female. And then they're to become one flesh. As we like to teasingly say, I didn't make it up, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Is the church you're part of willing to oppose gay marriage like the Bible does? If not, then you might want to think about getting out of that church and seeking to become a member of a congregation, worship with a congregation that's faithfully following God's Word. You see, discipleship, true discipleship, means there may be sacrifices. And surprisingly, it may mean that we have to get out of our current religion or church because they're not willing to follow the truth. They want to follow their own way instead of what the Bible says. Think about that. Should we follow our own way or what the Bible says? Which one? If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. I'm turning to 2 Timothy. I want to read 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You see, the Scripture is to be our guide. It's the thing that is profitable for doctrine. It's the thing that's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. It's the thing that makes the man of God complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's the Scripture, not other things, not man-made creed books, not the Pope and his magisterium. Nothing like that. It's the Bible, the Scripture, that tells us what we are to practice and what we're to believe in religion. You think about a passage like John chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, 17, we've been talking about the truth tonight and how that a disciple of Christ must follow the truth. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So the truth is found in God's word. All of the truth is found in God's word. We see that from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And so if we want to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to follow the truth. We're going to have to follow God's word, the Bible. 66 books in the Bible, 27 in the New Testament. We must follow the Bible and believe exactly what it says, practice exactly what it says, and teach others exactly what it says if we want to be faithful followers of Christ, true disciples of Christ. Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Are you willing to give up the man-made doctrines of men, following the commandments of men, Matthew 15, verse 9, it says if we follow the commandments of men in Matthew 15, verse 9, our worship will be in vain. Are you willing to give that up and follow the truth and just the truth? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Linda from Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, on the issue concerning divorce and remarriage, I totally agree with you on that issue. The only thing that I have a question about, you said, till death do you part. What about a case where a woman is being beaten? I know a woman that was actually shot in the head by her husband. It would be my thinking that a person could separate from a violent husband until they were able to get some kind of medical help. And so I was wondering what you had to say on that.
Well, here's what I would say about that. That the lady ought to call the police, and he ought to be locked in jail if he's got a gun and shooting people, and they ought to throw away the key. You see what I mean, Linda?
Yes, but what if the man just comes home drunk on a regular basis and beats his wife when he gets home? And this is done in front of children. I mean, it's very, very unsettling for a young child to see his mother being beaten, and they don't develop properly in their brains when they don't have a safe environment to be raised in.
Well, Jesus said the only way we can divorce our spouse scripturally is for fornication, Matthew 19:9. And so I think the solution there is to call the police and have him locked up.
Okay, but
anything else, Linda?
I'm not talking about divorce. I'm just talking about separation for the safety of the woman and the children.
Like I said, I think the solution would have to be call the police. Thank you for your call, Linda.
Hey, you're welcome.
And so we can, the government is there, Romans 13 verse 1, to punish evildoers. And so if you're in a situation like that, by all means call the police. Let me read that verse, Romans 13 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves condemnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he, talking about the government, beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We can take advantage of that. Call the police of anybody breaking the law like that immediately. You know, another passage that I'd like to read on this divorce and remarriage issue is Romans 7, 2 and 3. We were talking about till death do us part. We get that idea from Romans 7, 2 and 3, which reads, For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. This is clear. As long as a woman's husband is still alive, she's bound or obligated to him. But if he's dead, she has the opportunity, the choice of remarriage. But as long as she's still alive, he's still alive, she needs to stay with him till death do us part. Separation was brought up. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 forbids separation. Matthew 19:9, Matthew 5:32 would forbid divorce. 1 Corinthians 7 would forbid separation. It says, And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the wife, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. So that's the command. The wife is not to depart from her husband. And like most Bible passages, it works for the vice versa, for the other gender the same. So that would mean that it's wrong for the husband to depart from his wife. The only exception to that is if your spouse cheats on you, you may divorce them for fornication, according to Matthew 19, verse 9. This is another thing where our loyalty to Christ is going to be tested. Are we willing to be a disciple of Christ even when there's a cost? It seems that many are willing to say they're a disciple of Christ as long as there's no cost. But if there's a cost, are you willing to be his disciple? If you happen to unfortunately get into a marriage that's where your spouse is not a good spouse, and according to the world, you ought to get out of that marriage. That's what being a disciple is being a disciple, being a follower of Christ and his word, even when it provides some things that are uncomfortable for you. And so, the Bible teaches you'd have to stay in that marriage because that's what Jesus said. You're not to depart from your spouse, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10. If you divorce them for any reason other than fornication, you commit sin, Matthew 5, 32. And if you remarry, you commit adultery in that case. Are we willing to stick with our spouses if for no other reason? Because Christ said to do it. That's what being a disciple is all about. Doing what Christ said to do, even if we wouldn't want to do it that way if it were up to us. We can't just follow Christ when it's easy. Oh, when I agree with Christ, I'll do that. But when I disagree with Christ, I won't do that. That's not being a disciple of Christ. That just means we're doing what we want to do, and it just so happens it agrees with Christ every now and then. The only time we really show that we're a servant of Christ, that we love Christ, is when we do something he says that we don't want to do, that we wouldn't do it that way if it were up to us. For example, if we want to get out of our marriage, I want to get out of my marriage. It's not a good marriage. Christ said to stay in it. If we stay in it, then we prove that we're a servant of Christ. If we don't stay in it, then we prove that we only do the things Christ say because we would have done it that way anyway, so we're not a true disciple of Christ anyway. The number to call, if you have a Bible question, is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. I tried to quote a passage a while ago, didn't do a very good job of it. Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Unfortunately, the commandments of men have infiltrated, are dominating the religious landscape today. Doctrines of men like, it's okay for women to preach from the pulpit. It's okay to sprinkle for baptism. Gay marriage is okay. These are all doctrines of men. This text says, and Jesus is the one speaking, that if we teach for doctrines the commandments of men, our worship is in vain. And so you see how important it is that we follow what Christ says, and we believe and teach and practice the commandments of Jesus Christ, not the commandments of men. One of the passages we quoted last week, I believe, if I remember correctly, is 2 John verse 9. Let's turn over and read 2 John verse 9. The Bible says there, and I'm reading from the King James Version, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." The doctrine of Christ simply means the teaching of Christ. Well, in other words, what Christ taught. We must abide in the teaching of Christ, else we don't have God. Can we be saved if we don't have God? Well, of course not. The only way we can be saved is through the grace and mercy of God, through the death of Christ. If we don't have God, we're not going to be saved. So if we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, we're not going to be saved. All of these different churches and preachers teaching different things, they can't all be abiding in the teaching of Christ if they're teaching different things. Find out what the Bible has to say for yourself and believe and practice and teach that, so that you will have God and you can be saved. Donnie from Oklahoma, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, what I was wondering, I heard you talk about last week, was a man who divorces his wife, marries another, that he should divorce his current wife, go back to his ex-wife and try to reconcile. So what I'm wondering is, how can any man undo a sin? If you're sin, you can't undo it, only God can, or Jesus.
That's not, I don't think that's true in what you mean, Donnie. Suppose you stole a horse. You steal a horse, and now you repent of it. What should you do with the horse?
Well, suppose you murder somebody. Can you unmurder them?
No, but I'm asking, if you steal a horse and you repent of it, what should you do with the horse?
Well, you should give it back. But what I'm asking, if you murdered a man, can you unmurder him? No.
But can
you be forgiven of that murder?
Yes, that's right. But if you steal a horse... Okay, Donnie, but that's not parallel. The one that's parallel to our situation is the stealing of the horse. If you steal somebody else's wife and you repent of it, you got to give that wife back, just like if you steal a horse and you repent of that, you have to give the horse back. And so the divorce and remarriage situation is parallel to the horse situation, not the murder. If you divorce and you remarry, Jesus says you're committing adultery. Well, adultery is a sexual sin. That means every time you sleep with that second wife that you don't have a right to, you're committing adultery. If you want to repent of that, then you got to quit committing adultery. You got to quit sleeping with that second wife. You got to terminate that marriage and seek reconciliation with the first. When John the Baptist told Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have her," referring to his wife, we can tell that he expected Herod to get out of that marriage. Mark 6, 17 and 18. Be sure and send me an email if you want to talk further. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Thank you for listening this evening.